Living the dream is scary. It's scary because God will always lead you to places you couldn't go without Him. He wants you to know that He's the one holding you, not you holding you. And so He'll take you to places you never thought you could ever go. Brother Andrew, who brought Bibles behind the Iron Curtain during the Soviet Union power, he said, if your dream doesn't scare you, then both your dream and your God are too small. And I don't know what God you serve, but my God is not small. The title of the message this morning is Living the Dream. Living the Dream. And the text is the story of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, who lived his dream to give dignity to his people by rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem. Let's read this story together because I believe that there is power in reading the Word of God out loud. So I'll read this and please follow along if you have your Bible in the book of Nehemiah chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 11 to 20. It will also be on the screen if you're not as spiritual as those that brought their Bible. No judgment here. Verse 11, I went to Jerusalem, and after staying there 3 days, I set out during the night with a few men. I had not told anyone what my God had put on my heart to do for Jerusalem. There was no mount with me except the one I was riding on. By night, I went out through the valley gate towards the Shechel well and the dog gate, examining the walls of Jerusalem, which had been broken down, and its gate, which had been destroyed by fire. And then I moved on towards the fountain gate and the king's pool, but there was not enough room for my mount to get through, so I went up the valley by night, examining the wall. Finally, I turned back and re-entered through the valley gate. The officials did not know where I had gone or what I was doing, because as of yet, I had said nothing to the Jews or the priests or the nobles or the officials or any others who would be doing the work. And then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I also told them about the gracious hand of my God upon me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this great work. When the Sabala, the Horonite, the Tobiah the Ammonite, official of Geshem the Arab, heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is it that you're doing? They asked, are you rebelling against the king? And I answered them by saying, the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servant, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or any claim or historic rights to it. Nehemiah had a dream, a crazy dream, to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem. But he had no vacation days left. Actually, as a cupbearer, you have no vacation. If you go to the king and you ask, can I have some time off to go all the way to Jerusalem? He could have taken this as an act of treason that his cupbearer wanted to get away from him. And he could have killed him. And so Nehemiah waited for over 2 years. His dream slept dormant. He lived far from Jerusalem and felt powerless to the farewell of his people. But after 2 years, the king came to him and opened a door that he could have never opened himself, sent him with protection, and sent him with all the building materials he was going to need to rebuild the wall. Because you see, living the dream isn't just about accomplishing the dream, but it's also about enjoying the journey there. Because when you try to rush things on your own without God, you only make things worse. You see, you can either learn to depend on God and live the dream, or you can continue to depend on yourself and dream the life. But I've identified 3 focus in this passage that we just read that will help you ensure that you live the dream. And I'm a good Christian, so I'll share these with you this morning. The first one is to focus on the journey, not the results. The second is to focus on action, not failure. And the third one is to focus on the dream, not complaints. And focusing on the journey, not the result. Journeys can be scary. Oh, man. I remember when God called me to go to BC, I spoke no English. The youth pastor's wife helped me fill out the paperwork to get this organized and reply to the emails that Summit was sending back to me. And I, by faith, step on this airplane that I believe was going to Vancouver. And I thought, the person that sells you the ticket? Flight agent? Ticket agent? that person gave me a great advice. He said, when you get there, just follow the crowd. It's a big airport. Follow the crowd. And I thought, this is Canada. I don't need to follow the crowd. I speak French. And French is one of our two official languages, English and French. In Quebec, a lot of things is big, bold French and little English underneath. So I thought in Vancouver, it's going to be very similar. Big, bold English and little French underneath. So I'll be fine. I landed in Vancouver. I thought. I get out of the airplane. I'm carrying my little suitcase, backpack. I look at the sign. English. We're doing good so far. Underneath, Chinese. Oh man, I'm in the wrong country. Where am I? I don't even have a cell phone. How do you use a phone in this country? How do you call Canada from here? How do I call my mom? I'll die here and no one will know. Following the crowd is what I did. So I started following the crowd. And I looked before I left what the school logo looked like. And they said, someone's going to be waiting at the airport for you. And so I'm getting to the luggage claim and I'm looking and I'm scanning everywhere to see where that logo is. And no one has a Summit logo there. And slowly everyone is getting dispersed. And there's one massive guy, like scary dude. He's got a lined sheet of paper. Full size, but it looks so small on him. And it's written with a pencil, Summit. I say, oh no. What kind of scam school did I just sign up for? The whole time in the airplane, all I rehearsed is the first sentence I was going to tell that person. It was, hi, how are you? Good, thank you. That was about all. And I don't pronounce H's. I still struggle with this, so I was like, I, how are you? And so I go and I say, I, how are you? And then he says, I'm good. And then he says some other things, and I don't really know what he said. And I look at him, and I said, I, how are you? And he quickly realized I didn't speak much English, so he didn't try to make conversation. But I thought, okay, now we're going to go outside, and we're going to see the, and we're going to go to the parking lot where the car is, and at least there'll be a logo on the car, and that will make me feel comfortable. Well, you see, we're getting outside the airport. These guys are too smart to park a car. Because if you got to park at the airport, you got to use credit card. And this is what they use to know how long you've been in the parking lot, right? So that they can bill you. And then there's a name attached to the credit card. But these guys are too good for this. Someone is searching around the airport so that they don't have to leave a trace that they picked me up. So they're going around the airport waiting. And so we're waiting on the sidewalk there. And then this van comes. You've watched movies. I've watched movies. And when people get kidnapped, it's a big van. With no seats and no signage on the van. Incognito. Guess what? Rolled up. And if it's a really ghetto movie or really bad guys, it's an old van with rust on it. Then it's like, it almost looked like they stole that van, right? And they're going to get, it's like a disposable van. Guess what rolls up? A big red burgundy rusty van. Like, who finds a rusty van in Vancouver? I don't even know. That thing had rust on it. They stole it from Alberta. And I'm like, oh man. It's a 12-seater. All the seats are removed in the back but one. This thing is not looking good. I'm like, they're going to tie me down on the ground on this thing. He opens the back door, throws my luggage, and shows me to go sit in there. I sit in there. And I didn't look on Google Map, but I was convinced that Abbotsford was a neighborhood in Vancouver. Like, what else a neighborhood in Vancouver? Anyhow, you know what I mean, right? So when we got on the highway for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes to go to Abbotsford, half an hour, I'm like, that's it, Jesus. You know I followed you to the end. I really thought that was your voice. I really believed that was you calling me here. Know that I love you, and I did this trying to serve you. But these guys are taking me somewhere remote. And if you've ever been to Summit, you go on Old Laban Road, and then you drive for about a kilometer up a hill. And there's signs going up the hill with big crosses on it, no access allowed, private road. I said, that's it. They're taking me to their remote location where they're going to harvest my organs to sell them on the black market. And I'm not even going to be able to say goodbye to my mom. She didn't even cry when I left. Not in front of me. Later on, she told me she cried for like 2 months straight, but she wouldn't do it in front of me. I was like, wow, who thought I would be, this would be the way it ends at 20 years old. I'm too young to die. And when we rolled up there and I got into the dorm and they showed me my room, I was just so happy to be alive. And I didn't even know how to ask for food, so I didn't ask for food. But man, I didn't eat until the next day. I hadn't eaten since 3 a.m. when I left Montreal, and it was 5 p.m. I was so hungry, but still very happy to be alive. Crazy journey. Nehemiah had a crazy journey ahead of him. And some of you, you've been on a crazy journey for a long time. And like this, you're on that journey and you're wondering, where the heck am I heading? Where is this whole thing going to end up? Where am I going to end up? Am I really going somewhere? Or is this whole thing just heading nowhere? It feels like life isn't getting anywhere. But I want to encourage you this morning, don't focus on the results or the destination, because you'll miss the most important part of accomplishing your dream, which is the journey. Verse 11 tells us about this great journey in details. I went to Jerusalem. That's very detailed. A trip of at least 2 months' time summarized into just a few words. And sometimes it feels like a whole life is like this, that we don't know. This whole thing is happening and we can't describe really what's taking place. But it took this long journey and it took 3 days of rest. Can I remind you that taking a rest, taking a nap sometimes is the most spiritual thing you can do? Unless it's Sunday morning, 10:30, then it's probably not a good time to take a nap. But taking a nap can be the most spiritual thing to do. We live in a society so focused on performance and effectiveness, which is good, but never neglect to take the time with God and be restored for God. Now, I also want to tell you the other side of that coin. Don't use this as an excuse for laziness. Because lazy people don't live the dream. They waste their life dreaming about it. But Nehemiah was not lazy. Verse 12, he says, I set out during the night with a few others. You see, people that live the dream are people that work when other people are asleep. People that keep working when other people are taking a rest. People that keep pushing through the pain when other people would give up. People that live the dream are the one that set up for the journey and don't give up. The walls were broken and the gates were burnt down. Christians must not live in a dream world, but we live in the real world. We must face facts honestly and accept the bad news as well as the good news. But you know what I love about this is that he set up during the night with a few others. Nehemiah saw more at night than everyone else that was living there saw during the day. Because Nehemiah saw both the potential as well as the brokenness of the city. Maybe you haven't reached your dream yet, but don't worry about the results. Start enjoying the journey that you're on, because you'll be on the journey a lot longer and a lot more than you'll be at the destination. Life isn't about reaching a destination. It's about making the most of your journey there. So get ready to work hard and allow yourself to fail. Because like I say, if you're not failing, you're probably not trying hard enough. So stop talking about it and start doing something about it. Work on your dream life. And for this, you'll have to focus on action, not failure. And that's why when I moved here, I love farmers. I've always loved farmers. Spending time on my uncle had a farm in the summer. It was my favorite place in the whole world. I moved here and I wanted to meet the farmers. And we have great farmers in the church, Al and Sharon. And I went there and spent every other Thursday doing whatever Al wanted me to do. You want me to clean the chicken coop? I'll clean the chicken coop. You want me to clean all the poo of the goat? I'll clean all of it. You want me to? Whatever. I'll do it. I wanted to be a good learner. And so I said, whatever you teach me, I'll do. And 1 week, we build a new fence, or we clean the whole area for a new place where he was going to keep some of the goats. And then we build a fence. And then he's like, this week, we're building a goat shelter. I said, sounds great. So we went to Rona, got supplies, leveled the ground all up, put the four corners stone that we were going to build the whole, this mighty, grandiose goat shelter on. And building we did. We started building this thing up like you wouldn't believe it. And up on the ground, it was perfect. But 10 feet up in the air, there was a tree growing a little crooked. and it was going to hit the shelter. So I said, no problem, Al. I think the sensible thing, or what's the thing, the thoughtful thing to do, easy thing to do, cut a little indent in this goat shelter. It's just a goat shelter. This is not a house. And then let the tree grow. Oh, he looks at this and he says, I don't think so. I think the tree needs to come down. I said, Al, there's nowhere for the tree to go. On this side, there's the goat shelter we've been working on all day. On this side, there's the fence we worked on last week. On that side, there's your driveway and the rest of the fence. I said, there's nowhere for this tree to go. Oh, he said, yeah, that's true. Can let me think. Farmers don't have to think for very long. They are men of actions. He says, no, that tree needs to come down. I say, Al, there's no way this tree can come down. He says, no, there's a way. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to cut the tree at the bottom. We're going to cut 4 feet higher. Attach this with the tractor. Pull it quick. The tree's going to fall, and we're going to take this tree out 4 feet at a time. I said, okay, English is my second language. I think something got lost in translation. Do you want to repeat this, please? And so he repeated, and I said, yeah, that sounds just as crazy as the first time. But Al says, we're doing it. Okay, I'm going to run as far as I can from this thing, let me tell you this. Because I don't know, I did physics in high school, and this does not obey the law of physics. And last time I checked, they were not optionals. You can't opt out of physics. They apply to everyone, everywhere. And he says, no, it'll work. I was like, man, I wish I had your confidence, but this does not work in the real world. This is not Minecraft. You can't chop a tree and it still hang out there, you know? And so he gets a chainsaw, cuts at the bottom of the tree, cut 4 feet higher, and then he gives me the chain to hang that tree up, to attach the tree. I'm like, I ain't touching that. He says, I gotta go get the tractor ready. Oh my gosh. So I'm hooking this chain up like this, and then I'm running as far as I can from this thing. I say, okay, I'll eat your employee now. I said, no way. I think God on that day was in heaven, and he called some angels around, and he says, hey, you want to do something funny? You want to laugh? We are actually going to stop gravity and the law of physics to mess up with Samuel on today. Al is laughing. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. It's so funny. He takes his chainsaw, cuts another 4 foot log, gives me the chain to hook it up. We took the whole tree down like this. I say we, but really, I was not a big part of it. God was messing with me that day. It's unbelievable how even a crazy idea can work when you work together. It's amazing what God can do when you allow him to work in your life. That he will do things that makes absolutely no sense. He might even stop the physics. I don't know how that worked, honestly. I still think that God is still laughing about this in heaven. He says, you know, this is... That was so funny. It was worth it. Oh my gosh, that was so crazy. Nehemiah had a crazy dream. Verse 17, he says, you know, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild Jerusalem, he says. And I can only imagine, Nehemiah, you do realize all the people that destroyed this wall, they're right there. They live all around this city. And they want to make sure this wall does not get rebuilt. You want to do what now? Last time, they killed our families. They destroyed us and they burned this city. We better be quiet. We better not be bold Christians because we don't know what can happen. We better not believe that God can save us and can accomplish what he said he can do because things could go wrong for us. Maybe God is not with us anymore. And Nehemiah looks at them and he says, no. He shared with them how the hand of God had been with him. And says, let us rebuild that wall. It was so crazy. They literally had to build this wall with a sword in one hand and a brick on the other one. It was an insane dream. There was no way this was ever going to work. And yet, it did. You see, I arrived at VIU now 4 years ago. And I'm sad about what's taking place. I've been with you guys for almost 7 years, 8 years. Gosh, how long, honey? 8 years. my first internship here. It's a big part of me that I'm leaving here. I've grown, and to be honest, I have grown comfortable. USIM has grown in number, in influence, in impact. We're beyond fully funded now. It's amazing that we can, now not only do we say, okay, what do we have money to spend on? We say, what do we want to spend our money on? It's amazing to be in that place. To be like, God has blessed this ministry so much. I just want to stay here. There's so many great things happening that I want to stay where I'm comfortable. But I think, you know where the worst place Nehemiah could have stayed? Is in Susa, where he was comfortable. Because God was calling him to go to Jerusalem for a greater purpose. And I don't know God's plan, and I don't understand why he wants me to go to basic through basic training. I don't even know if I'm going to survive. I thought moving to BC was tough. Now I'm going to go through, anyhow, I don't know. It took a massive step of faith to say, I'm going to go to BC even though I don't know any English. And it turned out to be the best thing that happened in my life. I met Christina, and Joseph was born. He is just the best. And then I said, okay, I'll try UCM. Maybe that's God. I don't know nothing about fundraising. I don't know nothing about campus ministry. But we'll try. And it's been the greatest blessing in my life. And now I'm following God on the next big thing, big step of faith in our lives. And it is scary. I'm not going to lie to you. But I think that God is looking for dreamers that will be willing to take a risk for him. People that will focus on actions, not on what can possibly go wrong and all the possible failure or past failures. But people that will allow themselves to fail because the best victories are the difficult ones to get. There's nothing worth having in life that is easy to have. Nothing. We live in a broken generation, a broken world. There are more bad news coming out every day. It's impossible to keep track of it all. And it might be shocking and surprising to us, but God is not. We can either choose to see their brokenness, or we can choose to see like Nehemiah saw, and see both the potential of what God can restore as well as their brokenness. Not only does God know how to fix your life, but he has a plan for you to live the dream. And it starts with you worrying less about what can go wrong and the possible failures and focusing on what you will do with the gifts that God has given you. Verse 18, Nehemiah looked at all these people that were complaining and saying, this can't be done, we can't do this, this is what's going to happen. And he says, I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. And they replied, let us start rebuilding. So they began this great work. What will you tell God this morning? Are you going to say, God, I will continue to focus on all the terrible things that happened in my past and all the possible failures that can happen in the future, and I will let it paralyze me into complete inaction? Or will you tell God, God, I will focus on action. And if I fail, I will get back up and try again. But I will choose to focus on action, not failure. It's scary. But don't let the enemy keep you from the blessing God has intended for you. Because there are no amount of failure that can keep you from the blessing God has in store for you. The only unacceptable failure is failure to try. Let me say this again, because this is so good. I worked really hard on this, okay? The only unacceptable failure is failure to try. So it's time that you get out of your comfortable chair and come in the ditch with me. I'm just kidding. But do what God has called you to do. It's time to live your dream. And one thing that we're not going to miss as we go is the house. This house has been a huge blessing to us, but I think it's haunted. When we first moved in, one of the first things Krista made me do is patch some of the holes with plywood sheets because it was so creepy. We didn't know what was living in those holes. I'm pretty sure there were rats living in that house before we moved in. We spent a whole weekend cleaning the carpets. It was interesting. This house has a lot of little quirks. We've just spent a few days battling an infestation of ants. I call it an infestation. This thing, God bless vacuums, but this thing, it was unreal. I'm not even going to go into too many details, but I still have ants crawling on me all the time. I feel them. It's so gross. So, one of the quirks is there's deadbolts on all the doors upstairs, and there's a door between upstairs and downstairs that only locks from the upstairs. So it's a very safe door, and once you're upstairs, no one can get in, because even if we were out, we can't get in. So you got to make sure you don't lock that door between upstairs and downstairs from upstairs if you've put the deadbolt on. But you see, I'm a very smart person, and I would never do that. But as smart as I am, God keeps me humble, and we were rushing for church, and I put the deadbolt on, make sure everything is locked, and locked that door and walked down. At least I had Joseph with me, you know what I mean? Instantly, crap. Sorry, apparently that's a bad word, so, oh, shoot. I said that in the church once, and Kristen said, you shouldn't say that word, and I was, so I've been trying to put into practice. But we got to go. We're going to be late for church. And it's bad if the preacher is late for church. So I got in and we went to church and then we got back and Joseph needs to get his food and he's getting cranky and all that stuff, you know. And so I'm like, okay, I built a chicken coop and a gold shelter. I can find a way into that stupid door. But I'm not a lock picker and I'm way too manly to call a locksmith to come open a door. I got an idea. I'm going to drill a hole through that door. Big enough for Christina to put her hand through, unlock the door, and voila. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. So I went downstairs, got my drill, and drilled a hole through the door. Literally. Oh, yeah, I filled the hole with the hole afterwards, so hey, it's pretty good, right? I did quite a holy job there. And people thought I was not doing the holy work of God. So, man, I think it was a great solution. This was so quick. In 10 minutes, I focused on action. And I focused on what could go right, not possible failures. I drilled that thing like you wouldn't believe it. 10 minutes, we were in upstairs. Joseph was happy. Everyone was happy. And I even fixed a hole with the hole. It was great. I think it's a great solution. It makes a great story, too. Kristen is not as convinced as I am, but that's okay. We can agree to disagree. But you see, as long as you focus on how old you are, or how young you are, or how you're too fat, or too slow, or too little, or too poor, or too stupid, or too late, or too early. Oh my gosh, I'm getting tired just finding excuses for you. You will never live the dream. So what's your excuse for not living the dream? What are you afraid of? Failure? Mockery? When they heard about it, verse 19, they mocked and ridiculed us. What is it you're doing, Nehemiah? You see, because when you decide to live for God and for what God has in store for you, you will face adversity, I guarantee you. If someone told you doing what God called you to do is easy, living the dream, if someone told you living the dream is easy, they didn't know what they were talking about. Because living the dream is hard. It's a lot of difficult work. Jesus never said, I came so that you may have life in easy. So that you may have life in comfort. God is not as concerned about your comfort as he is about your character. Jesus said, you will never be alone. He never said, it will never be hard. And so they ridiculed Nehemiah. A device somebody called the device of the weapon of those who have no other. They laughed at the Jews and belittled both their resources and their plan. Weirs beyond this passage says this, and I'll read. Whether in the area of science, exploration, invention, business, government, or Christian ministry, just about everyone who has ever accomplished anything has faced ridiculed. You see, our Lord was ridiculed during his life and mocked while he was hanging on the cross. On the day of Pentecost, some of the Jews in the crowd said that the Christians were drunk. The Greek philosopher called Paul a babbler, and Festus told that Paul was out of his mind. Are you ready to face ridiculed from people who do not understand God's plan for your life? Are you ready to face the adversity, to face the misunderstanding from the people you thought were your friends, you thought believed in you, you thought were supposed to support you? because this is the cost of living the dream. Is your faith in the dream God has given you strong enough to carry you through the difficulty and the ridicule and adversities of others? This morning, you can choose to focus on the complaint of man, or you can choose to focus on the dream that God has for you. The choice is yours. But what do you want to be remembered for? Do you want to be remembered as the person who gave up? Or you want to be remembered as the mighty man or woman of God who, even though everything rose up against you, you kept your eyes on the prize and you pushed through with God. And against all odds, that tree came down and you succeeded. When I go to heaven and I stand before God, I want Him to look at me and say, good and faithful servant. There is nothing that will bring me to joy more than this. Everything I do is to hear those few words from God talking to me. You see, anyone can dream the life, but only a few get to live the dream. And what an example is Nehemiah to us. That no matter how difficult the task gets, no matter how strong the opposition rises, be determined. As Dr. Ray Edmond used to say, it's always too soon to quit. Verse 20, he looked at all those naysayers, all of those complainers, and Nehemiah looked at them, square in the eyes, and he said, the God of heaven, verse 20, will give us success. We, His servants, will start rebuilding. Because you see, it's not your success. It's not my success. It's not Pastor Joe's success. You work hard, and I know Pastor Joe works hard. And when it doesn't succeed, he'll keep working hard. I'll keep working hard. And you should keep working hard even when it doesn't succeed. Because it's not you that brings success. It's God. So whether it succeeds or not, we keep working hard. Keep working hard. And when it succeeds, you give God the glory. And when it doesn't succeed, you keep working hard and you give God the glory that you have what it takes to keep working hard. Because living the dream isn't about the destination. It's about the journey there. Living the dream isn't about the failures along the way. It's about the actions you take along the way. It's not what you don't do that defines you. It's what you do that defines you. Living the dream isn't about comparing yourself to others. But it's about focusing the dream God has given you, not the dream He's given someone else. So what is burning on your heart this morning? Go and do it. And don't quit. Because it's always too soon to quit. This morning you can either live the dream or dream the life. I'm choosing to live my dream. And I hope you do too. Let's pray together.